This is PCJ Media, broadcasting to South and North America on 9,955 kHz in the 31-meter band. For more information about PCJ, check out our website at www.pcjmedia.com. That's www.pcjmedia.com. Coming up, The Happy Station Show. This is the Happy Station Show. Hello, hello, hello everyone, and welcome again to another edition of the Happy Station Show, broadcasting to listeners all around the world on shortwave, FM, the internet, podcasts. Let me think. I think at some point we're going to start smoke signals. That would be interesting, I would have to say. Imagine doing this radio show as smoke signals. And knowing how crazy I am, I may just try it one day. Anyway, Keith Perron here with you all the way in Taipei, Taiwan. It's really nice to have you with me for the show. And today's show is a very special one. A very, very special one. Because my guest is someone who for many years hosted one of the most popular shows that aired on Radio Netherlands, other, of course, than The Happy Station. But this show was just as popular. And even today, people still talk about it. And even though people of maybe a younger generation had never heard of the show before, I have met some listeners, some shortwave listeners, that have said they hear people talking about a show called His and Hers, and I just gave the answer away of who my guest is, have heard them talk, other people talk about His and Hers, they've heard some clips, and, the show's still there, and it's still being talked about, even though it has not been on the air for more than 25 years. My guest on today's show is Dodie Cowan. Now, this is a very special show because this is going to be divided up into two Happy Station shows. The first show, which is today, is about Dodie Cowan and her, Dodie at Radio Netherlands and His and Hers. The second part of the interview is about Deborah Ray, and that is Deborah Ray, the author, who is also Dodie Cowan, which we will use for another show in the very, very near future. So before we begin with today's show, let's kick off with a piece of music, a song that people have been writing me about only because I am in the Asia-Pacific region. They say, can you play it on the show? Well, we actually have played this song before. The song is called On a Slow Boat to China. The version that we played a few months ago was by Rosemary Clooney and Bing Crosby. But I thought we would play a more up-to-date version, which is now my favorite version and interpretation of this song. It's by Bette Midler from a compact disc that she put out a few years ago called Bette Midler Sings the Rosemary Clooney Songbook. Here is the one and only Bette Midler with Barry Manilow and On a Slow Boat to China.
Nice piano playing, Manila.
Thank you, Miss M.
What you doing these days?
Making records.
Really?
Yes, really.
Do you still play piano for people?
Well, depends on who.
I'm gonna get you on a slow boat to China. All to myself alone. Get you and keep you in my arms. Faraway shore. where the moon's big and shiny, melting your heart of stone. I'm gonna get you on a slow boat to China, all to myself alone.
Bet, I didn't know you felt that way about me.
I don't. I need a piano player.
Ah, just like the old days.
You're not gonna change keys on me, are you?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'm gonna get you.
You're never gonna get me.
Boat to China.
Not in a fast or slow boat, Zanny Trick. I just get
won't
you sick.
Alone, I'm gonna make you mine.
Ah, you'll have to stand in line.
Get you and keep you in my band evermore.
Now there's a new attack.
Leave all the others on the shore.
For me, they swim to China, and back.
Out on the briny.
I wouldn't like the ocean. You'll always get your way.
I'm gonna get you on a slow boat to China, all to myself alone. Together, all to myself alone.
The one and only Bette Midler with On a Slow Boat to China, beginning today's edition of The Happy Station Show. And at this point, I would like to say that this edition of the show is airing to all regions. As you know, we have different shows for different areas, but for special shows, we air the same program to all of them, and today's show is a very special show. Now, before we get to our interview with Dodie Cowan, I want to take a moment or two to tell you about some upcoming special shows that we have this month. On the 24th of December will be the Happy Station Christmas show, which will be airing to all regions. And then on December 31st, we have two special New Year's Eve programs at 2 hours UTC to 4 hours UTC. That's right, 2 hours on the air to Latin and South America and the Caribbean. We're going to be doing a special show with my special co-host, David Monson, and then at 16 hours UTC for our transmission to North America, which will also be 2 hours. That program will be done from Hong Kong, and we will be announcing the winners to a contest that we've had going now for the end of the year. And you still have time to enter. You actually have until like 2 hours UTC on December 31st to get your entries in to win one of those five prizes that we have, which I won't get into right now because we don't have time. The next special thing coming up, by the way, is we are going to be doing a test transmission of a live show. That's right. We will be doing one live version of the show this month, and I will announce that later on next week's show. Anyway, as I said at the top of the show, my special guest today is Dodie Cowan. Dodie was born in Amsterdam, and she was a young girl growing up in Holland during the Second World War when Holland was under Nazi occupation. My first question to her before we got into working at Radio Netherlands and about Jerry and his and hers was, did growing up in Holland during the Second World War have an impact on her life?
If I say it wrecked my life, it's not true. But I do still suffer from a very big war trauma, and even though I was treated by one of the psychiatrists in that field for 10 years, it's something that keeps coming back. It will always come back, always come back, always come back, you know, in visions or flashes or whatever. So it made and broke my life.
That is something that I hear from a number of people that lived through the Second World War. But you did.
But don't underestimate the people who lived through Vietnam, who lived through Korea, who lived through the Desert Storm, who lived through Iraq, because they had the same trauma. They're living with the same trauma. And what's happening, like what's happening in the States at the moment, the suicides of veterans, young guys who come back from Iraq, it's very natural. It belongs to the trauma.
You know, you said that you spent some time seeing a psychiatrist. Did this really help, or did you also find things to do to also occupy yourself to try to help yourself overcome this?
Oh, definitely. I worked very hard, because when you have a good psychiatrist, he makes you work. Where he helped me, he pointed out what was wrong with me, because I've been one of these very jolly, snatchy chicks, but inside I was drowning in my own tears, and I didn't know what it was. I could tell stories about the war which were hilarious, and I did not realize that I was still suffering from those same stories, and that they weren't funny at all.
Was it after the war and after seeing a psychiatrist that you decided to go into entertainment?
No. I was born into entertainment, because my father was a very well-known theater actor and radio actor, director, producer. He slipped me into the business from age three. I did my first radio play when I was 3 years old. My father would give me the lines, and I would say them sitting on his knee in front of a microphone. And so I was in the business, and what triggered off this whole thing was actually some very ugly problems we sadly had at Radio Nederland, where we were working at the time. There was a rather very anti-Semitic witch hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I really cracked. I cracked up completely. And I didn't know what was wrong with me, and my psychiatrist, he pointed it out. So, you know, I got to know myself.
So when did you join Radio Netherlands?
In 1958, I did my first program with Jerry Cowan in English. Mm-hmm. And, it was, as we say, love at first sight. And the engineer who was working with us at the time said, if those two aren't married within a year, I'm going crazy. And, we were not married within a year, but we were living together within a year.
Mm-hmm. You know,
we stayed married for 30 years.
You know, I recently listened to an interview that one of your ex-colleagues who's no longer with us, Eddie Starts, gave about the early days at Radio Netherlands. And the way he talks about it, it was a very different environment to what we know as radio nowadays. He said back then, we really had no idea what we were doing. We were just kind of like trying to do our best and to put programs on air that we thought would be interesting.
In a way, I agree with him. I agree with him, yes. There was not, what you have now, the polls and all that. And, you know, it was not big business at the time. It was love.
Mm-hmm.
You did it with love.
So when
you had your training. You had your training from, like, I had my training from my father, and Jerry had his training in Canada, but still, you know, you didn't have the big money business, etc., pressure behind you.
So it really was it really had a lot to do with one feeling passionate about what they were doing.
Oh, yes, we were very passionate about what we were doing. Very, very passionate. And if things had not changed, then I think that many people would have remained passionate. But things changed at one point. And management changed. And you got to do with people who got nepotism and stuff like that. But yeah, it changed completely, and I knew Eddie Starts. It's very nostalgic, you know, when you think back to the good old days. Those for us were the good old days, where colleagues were good colleagues, where colleagues would help each other,
mm-hmm.
and try to break each other up, you know, while you were doing the news or something. But still, there was this there was a lot of friendship. Friendship between the colleagues and respect. And that, at one point, you know, we had this the hatred between two programs because one was more popular than the other, and all that kind of nonsense. Or nonsense is very sad, really sad. Because the good old atmosphere of working together was gone.
You know, a lot of people that I've spoken to who worked at Radio Netherlands in the 50s and 60s, they said, you know, the feeling in Radio Netherlands and in Hilversum, in broadcasting in Hilversum, really started to change, they said, probably around the time when Radio Netherlands moved into its new building, like through the 60s and then 1970s.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Now, in 1958, when you joined Jerry on the air at Radio Netherlands, was the decision to put the two of you together to create a show, or did they already have in mind the idea of His and Hers, or even was it called His and Hers back then?
No, not at all. It was a documentary about a village in Holland, Amersfoort, and we did the documentary together. So there was no His and Hers involvement yet. And the year after, 2 years later, we started, Jerry and I got the idea of the His and Hers Mr. and Mrs. show, and we called it His and Hers. And we actually, it was very funny, because when you did not script a program, you got paid less.
So you just said that in those days, if you didn't script a program and if you did it ad lib, they would pay you less?
Yes, they paid me about half. So what we did, what I did then, I would type first words, last words, and that was my script. And then they paid me full price. Yep. That's ridiculous.
That is more than ridiculous. That's just like insane.
It is. We also don't forget, we also did our own administration. We did our own, a lot of the paperwork we did ourselves. So it's totally ridiculous.
You know, it's interesting because when I've talked to people who remember Radio Netherlands, who've been listening to Radio Netherlands for many years and continue listening today, There's certain announcers and certain shows that they remember. They said the shows that they are clearly identifiable with Radio Netherlands were, of course, The Happy Station, DX Jukebox, and His and Hers.
Yeah.
That must make you feel very proud to think that you did a show that even today, people may have never heard the show as it was originally being broadcast, but they've heard the clips and that people still talk about it today.
It touches me beyond words. It touches me to meet people again, you know? People write to me on my blogs about my books. They write to me again at the moment. And, they're old listeners. And that touches me beyond words. It's so faithful. It's beautiful. It's really beautiful. I'm terribly proud of it.
I wanted to also ask you about the name, because on air you use the name Dodie Cohen, but now as an author using Deborah Ray.
Yes, well, Dodie Cohen, of course, when we talk about His and Hers, you're talking to Dodie Cohen. Okay, Dodie X Cohen. to Dodie. When you want to talk to the author, then you have to talk to Deborah Ray.
Was it you that chose the name Dodie for His and Hers?
No, I was called Dodie from... My real name is a nice Dutch name, Dorothy May. That's my real name, which I was given at birth. And it has always been abbreviated to Dodie or Do. Mm-hmm. And so when Jerry and I started working together, I was known as Dodie Cohen, and the main Dodie, and many people still call me Dodie. You know, people who've known me all my life will call me Dodie.
Now, you did the show for many, many years. When you left Radio Netherlands and the show ended, was that due to the divorce?
No. I had to. At one point, I collapsed. I actually collapsed in front of the microphone while we were talking, while we were recording, and I couldn't work anymore for a while. I was sick, and then and I was sent to see a psychiatrist because they thought I was simulating, and I could not explain to them that going without my work for me was a punishment. Because I still, you know, Keith, I still miss my work every day. I really miss it each and every day. And that's a time to be family, you know, without your work, without your microphone, it's horrible. So they sent me to see a shrink. And the shrink was the man who was very well known because he passed away 2 years ago. He's an expert on the field of war trauma, and he within 5 minutes he told me what was wrong with me, and he said to me, "You are never going to work again there." And that was it. So I left, and after a year, I still had not heard anything from Radio Nederland. So I posted, or Jerry posted a note for me on the billboard, in which I thanked all the engineers and the people of the disc library and the secretaries and everybody. I did not thank management. Mm-hmm. I did not. And I never heard from them. I never heard not a word.
You know, when you look back now, of course, the circumstance that when you left was obviously very difficult for you, but. Do you wish that you had been able to end the show on your terms, meaning that you would have been able to say goodbye to the listeners on air, or did you have that chance?
Oh God, of course, because it goes against everything to just finish a show punk like that, you know. And Jerry was so taken by what had happened to me and happened to us, because we lived under police protection for 2 years, Keith, so it was no joke. And our daughter could not play in the garden unsupervised. And there was always a cock, you know, hanging around. And so it was no fun. And Jerry was so hurt by everything that had happened and so lost without me, because we were a team. We were a tremendous team. And so he only did night shifts. He read the news, and that was all. Mm-hmm. And, not as a kind of protest, but he said, "I'm not able to do anything else for them anymore." So he did the news. And it must have been very difficult for him. Very, very difficult.
And that, of course, was Dodie Cowan. We're going to have more of Dodie in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Peter Anthony Holder, and I would like you to join me for a very eclectic and different kind of radio show. It's called the Stuff File Program. Where else would you get to hear a well-renowned Hollywood acting teacher, a best-selling science fiction writer, a guy who teaches llamas how to be golf caddies, or the man who has Hitler's toilet, all wrapped up with some of the oddest news stories around? It's a rhetorical question. There's only one place. The Stuff File Program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. There are various ways to catch the show. You can find it at my website at peteranthonyholder.com. Check out my blog at peteranthonyholder.blogspot.com. Find it at cyberstationusa.com, radioforall.net, or simply subscribe to it on iTunes. You've forgotten all those places already, haven't you? Okay, just Google the title. It's called The Stuff File Program, and stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. Catch it, enjoy it, and have a chuckle or two. The Stuff File Program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. Radio will never be the same again.
Hi, my name's Colin Newell, and I'm the editor and creator of DXR.ca. Since the mid-90s, DXR.ca has been the go-to website for timely resources for the DXR, SWL, and broadcast listener. If you're looking for unbiased reviews of the most modern receivers and antennas, or are interested in participating in some of the more lively online forums all about radio, then come on by. DXR.ca, a world band radio website.
And the URL, again, is www.dxer.ca. And you can also purchase a wonderful CD that Colin has put together with Ian McFarland through their website. You're listening to the International Happy Station, coming to you from Taipei, Taiwan, to listeners all around the world. Let's now have a little piece of music. Here's the one and only Marlene Dietrich singing a song that, well, was made popular by Bob Dylan. It's Blowing in the Wind.
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must a white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? How many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blown in the wind. The answer is blown in the wind. How many times must a man look up before he can see the sky? How many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry? How many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blown in the wind. The answer is blown in the wind. How many years can a mountain exist before it's washed to the sea? How many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? How many times can a man turn his head, pretending he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blown in the wind. The answer is blown in the wind. The answer, my friend, is blown in the wind. The answer is blown in the wind.
Marlene Dietrich and Blowing in the Wind. Just a while ago, Dodi was telling me about a witch hunt that took place where her life and Jerry's life were put at risk and they were under police protection and everything else. My question to her is, where did this come from?
Well, the fact that we are Jewish makes it very easy, of course. And the fact that we were terribly popular made it very, very, very easy, too. And then on top of that, because they always had something, you know, which they could snicker about, which they could be happy about. We didn't have children. We couldn't have children. Okay? And then, lo and behold, would you believe it, she becomes pregnant. And she does not lose that baby. The baby is born and is a beautiful baby, a healthy baby. And today is one of the most beautiful women in the world who has a child of her own. So I'm a very proud grandmother. And so they had all these things, you know, against us. And, well, a witch hunt, jealousy. That's how witch hunts start. Mm-hmm. It's jealousy. And then made easy because you're Jewish and because, well, you're very high, very popular and loved by both of us. We're really loved by people. You know, our colleagues, many of our colleagues loved us, the people at Radio Nederland, except for management, loved us.
Anyway,
I can talk about them because the bastards are dead. No, they didn't like us very much.
Were you the only ones that were targeted? That were targeted in this witch hunt at Radio Netherlands, or were there other announcers that you can even speak of?
No, I wouldn't know. I know there have been some cases, you know, and we have stepped in a few times. In some cases, you know, to set things straight and to have, I would have a sweet little talk with the people who were doing this, and they usually would stop, but not this much. Mm-hmm. I mean, not where the police was involved and where you had to leave out the police protection, and we couldn't start our cars before checking under the hood. And oh my God, it was hellish. It was really hellish.
You know, I think it may surprise a lot of people, because when a lot of people think of the Netherlands, they think of a very tolerant country and a country that suffered under Nazi occupation.
And my darling, these were not Dutch people who were doing this. These were not Dutch people. They were a couple of Americans and two English colleagues who were doing this. And I'm not going to give you names. Mm-hmm. Nah, 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 nah. I shouldn't laugh because I'll cough when I laugh.
You know, it's just right now, your laugh, I was recently listening to some old air checks of His and Hers, and, what? You know, the sparkle in the laugh is still there.
Oh, yes, definitely. You know, I have a very funny little story for you. There was on the Happy Station group site, Yahoo thing, there was this talk about Deborah Ray being dead. Remember that?
I remember that. It was I remember reading that, going, this sounds like a rumor to me.
Yeah, but I died twice. I died once of cancer. Well, I did have cancer, but I did not die. And the second time, I died in a madhouse. So that was nice. I'm still mad that I didn't die in a madhouse. So at one point, I wrote in to the Happy Station, and there was some not very friendly chick who said, well, anybody can say she is Dodie Cowan, but Dodie Cowan is dead. And I got so angry that I picked up the phone and I called Radio Nederland. And I said, okay, to the telephonist, connect me with so-and-so, Andy, and he came on the phone, and I said, do you remember a program called His and Hers? Oh, yes, he said, of course, Jerry and Dodie Cowan. Yes. Do you remember Dodie Cowan? There was a huge silence. And then he said, don't tell me. And I started to laugh. He said, oh, shit, she's telling me. I said, baby, I'm alive, I'm well, and I'm living in France. And we had a very nice talk, and he corrected it on the site, and he had corrected it in a newsletter from Radio Nederland, the blog from Radio Nederland. So he corrected it, but I'm not dead.
So, ladies and gentlemen who are listening right now, this is just to confirm that Dodie Cohen is alive and well, and she is joining us today.
Yes.
So hopefully we can put a stop to all these, you know, these. It's amazing, you know, how rumors, especially since the internet has been around, you know, I mean, rumors about people that are no longer, either they're really no longer with us and they say, oh, they're still alive.
Yes, you know? Yes, yes. Well, it was one of those cases. I was they knocked me off before I was knocked off.
Well, you know? Deb, you can actually look at it this way. Maybe when you're really not with us anymore, people will start saying, "She's not dead. I saw her."
Yeah, I saw her. No, I don't think so because nobody knows me yet. Of course, it's as Dodie Cohen. They know me. I'm a Dodie. Or I'm a Dodie, and some of them know me as Deborah.
So there's no
depends.
So there's no fear then of people starting to talk about you the way they talk about Elvis Presley then.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. And you know,
when did you and Jerry get divorced?
January 14th. 1991.
I don't know how much you're willing to talk about this, but what was it that led to the divorce?
To be very frank with you, I could not live with Jerry any longer. And that's, I think that said it all. I just could not live with him any longer. And I still have a lot of respect for the man. I still wish him all the best in the world. He does not wish me all the best in the world. But anyhow, but it the marriage, I think what happened is that when I had to stop working, it was also the downfall of our marriage, because the backbone of our marriage was our work together. Because we always worked together, whatever we did. If Jerry did a commercial, I was directing him. You know, there would be a director and everything, but Jerry would only listen to me. If I was doing a commercial or something like that, I would listen to Jerry. So we were always working together. Whatever we did, we were working together. And then at one point, I fell away. And Jerry was on his own, and I was on my own. And I think that's when I realized that I had played a very, not mean, because I didn't do it on purpose, but I think what happened is that I fell in love with the tall Canadian, thinking back to the tall Canadians who liberated me in 1945, that I married a Jew because I could live my Jewishness for 100% with him. And I think that I married him, I fell for him, because he was my way to freedom. And freedom was Canada. Mm-hmm. And away from my family. And that's what, you know, I've been thinking about it a lot over the years. And I think that's on my part, I should have realized that earlier. And when I realized it, it was, 30 years later. Mm-hmm. And I realized I could not live with him anymore. And a lot of things happened in the meantime, you know. He also had a very hard time living with me and after my cancer operation and oh, God, a lot involved. There was a lot involved. And probably we also stayed together because of our daughter, which is a shit reason, if I may say so. Is the word shit allowed on your, on the happy station?
Yeah, that's okay. it's 2000. No, it's 2009.
Okay, no other four-letter words, but shit is allowed. staying together for a child or children is a very, very wrong reason. But anyhow, I organized it so Jerry could go back home to Canada. And it was a long fight, a big fight with Radio Nederland, but we won. So I rented a house and stuff like that and everything. And I knew I was going to divorce him, but I wanted him to be back home with his family, because his family were more important than whoever. You know, I could never compete with his family. If I could drop dead, and if his family was there, he would go with his family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was one very important thing, of course. It's not very good for a marriage. And so, you know, in Canada, when I finally came to Canada after doing all the things I had to do in Holland, tax-wise and all that, I told him the first day, I said, I can't live with you anymore. And I'm going for a self-divorce. So 6 weeks later, I was divorced. We were divorced. Mm-hmm. And he had a very hard time. And the very sad thing about this is that our daughter, because of the things she has seen, which I did not know, but she has seen them, and things happened while we were in Canada, my daughter does not want to have anything to do with her father. Except when I push and push and push and push, she sent him a photograph of her son a few years back, and that's it. Mm-hmm. She won't have anything to do with her father. And, you know, my now husband, is her son's grandfather for her.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one very sad thing, and that's something I never wanted to happen, but you cannot force another person to see his or her father. You can't. You can't. She's a person in her own mind. And but I find it very sad for Jerry. Very.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something. If he's listening, or if anybody who knows him is listening, that's the last thing I wanted. I wanted us to remain friends and share the growing up of our daughter and everything, you know, even when we were living in other countries. So that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So the work was a very important factor. The falling away of our cooperation, our work kept us very strong.
The one and only Dodie Cowan. Next week on The Happy Station, I will be announcing the date for the second part of the interview. The second part of the interview is also with Dodie, but she'll be speaking as Deborah Ray, the author, and we'll be talking about her new book. If you want to get in touch with Dodie and to keep up with what she's doing nowadays, she does have a blog. The URL is http://. Deborah Ray, that's DEBORAHREY.wordpress.com. That's http://. Deborah Ray. WordPress.com. And if you want to find out what that URL is, you can send me an email, pcj.happystation@gmail.com. That's pcj.happystation@gmail.com. Or check us out online at pcjmedia.com. That's www.pcjmedia.com. And there was the coded message to enter the lucky draw that we will have at the end of the year. We'll be announcing the winners of the prizes between 16 and 18 hours UTC on December 31st. Now, the prizes are, the first prize is a SanGen ATS-909 shortwave receiver. The second prize is a SanGen ATS-606A. The third prize are the three books from Jerry Berg about international shortwave broadcasting. The fourth prize is a one-year membership to the magazine Communication by the BDXC, that's the British DX Club. And the fifth prize will be going out to 10 lucky winners, and it's one copy each of the CD, Easy Come, Easy Go by Tom Meijer, songs that he recorded at Radio Nederland, as well as other places that were used on the Happy Station. So all you need to do is let me know at what time and at what date you heard that Morse code message. And as I've said before, it's not important that you know what what the message says. But of course, if you do, I would love to find out. And send it to www. Well, you can find all the contact information through our website at pcjmedia.com. Or you can send it to pcjmedia@gmail.com. That's pcjmedia@gmail.com. All right, time for more music. We're going to have a medley of three songs from the Netherlands, and I'm wondering how much of these Dodie remembers. The first one is a song that was played almost weekly on the Happy Station. In fact, it introduced the mailbag segment. It was called the Postcard, and then there's two other numbers. One is called Hotrecht and Flip de Fluter. And it's performed by Carl Varner and his orchestra. We'll be right back. Kaivaner and his orchestra with a Dutch melody. And while that track was playing, something very scary was going on. And that was me dancing in the studio wearing clogs. And I don't just mean only clogs. No, I was wearing something else, of course. Imagine that, you know, if I was dancing just with clogs on. It's a good thing it is radio. As I've told people before, I have the perfect face for radio, you know, and the perfect body as well. Oh, I'm being very silly. Anyway, that's it. That's all we have time for on this edition of the show. I just want to remind you again of some of the special programs that we have coming up. Like I said, 24th, the Christmas show. Two shows on December 31st. One of them will be co-hosted with my good buddy David Monson. And also this month, we will be doing a test for a live show, which I'll be announcing next week. And we'll be giving out a phone number. So as the show is going out, you can call in with us. We'll take your phone number and then call you back. And you can say hello to the Happy Station listeners. So yes, we are trying. Well, we're working out the technical things right now, but we will be doing a live show very, very soon, which I'll be announcing next week. The first one for Happy Station. Well, not the first one, because Tom did a number of live shows back in the 1970s and 80s. But this is the first one as yours truly as the host. Another special program that we have coming up in the new year to kick off 2010, the year 2010. My special guest is going to be on January the 7th, the one and only Steve Lawrence. That's Steve Lawrence who will be joining us here on the Happy Station on January the 7th here on the show. Once again, our website is www.pcjmedia.com. Some updates and changes have been made, so do log on. And before I go any further, I have to send a special thank you to Colin Newell, who's been a great help in setting up the website. So, Colin, I want to thank you very, very much for your time and effort that you've been putting in helping with the PCJ Media website. So, on behalf of our technician, Kevin Lee, our production assistant, Johan Bakker, this is Keith Parent all the way in Taipei, Taiwan, saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, ha ha hi. Adios, amigos, and sayonara. You have been listening to PCJ Media, broadcasting to North America and South America on 9,955 kHz in the 31-meter band. If you want more information about PCJ, our email address is pcjmedia@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.